depictions of the Prophet Muhammad in all kinds of disgusting, sexualized contexts, often with other prophets. Not with Moses, as it happens, though all Muslims revere Moses, the prophet of the Jews, but often with Jesus, the prophet of the Christians, and many other offenses against good taste. For example, the Nigerian girls who were kidnapped in their hundreds, 500, and taken away, turned into figures of fun for Charlie Hebdo. They were portrayed as welfare queens with pregnant bellies, young schoolgirls, pregnant bellies looking forward to their child benefit, asking when their benefits would be paid. This magazine ought to have played the role that satire ought to play, which is to satirize the powerful, the rich, the people who control our lives, not to hound viciously and further marginalize, make more vulnerable, make more hated the already marginal, the already vulnerable, the already hated. That's no role for a journalist or a satirist or a cartoonist. That's Nazi behavior. Der Stürmer in the 1930s caricatured hideously the Jews in Germany in exactly the same way. In fact, the facial representations in Der Stürmer of Jews are almost identical to the facial characterization of Muslims in Charlie Hebdo. So, to answer your second, I think, question, nobody deserves to die or suffer violence for anything that they say, write, or draw. But neither can you expect 1.7 billion Muslims in the world to remain entirely unmoved by hideous, pornographic, obscene caricaturing of their prophet. As the Pope said, that's asking for trouble. As the former head of British intelligence said, that's a provocation that can only lead to trouble. And as 40% of the French themselves, the people who suffered the mass murder, 40%, 42% of the French people themselves said, these things should never have been published. So, whoever you were in Leeds who made your obscene call and ran away, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Mario is in Malta. Mario, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir.
You know what I say is U.S. just built another monster, you know. Before it was Osama bin Laden. And now this monster will turn against America and the whole Europe. You know, that is the ISIL that they built. And they should don't give armaments to this kind of people. They are the worst people in the world. They don't fight the Israeli. You know, because Israeli, they're friends with the Americans. That's the whole thing. This is the kind of where we're living, you know.
Okay, Mario, thanks for that call. Can I ask you this? What percentage of terrorist attacks in the United States in the 25 years between 1980 and 2005 do you think were carried out by extremist Muslims?
No, Muslims. It must be Americans themselves, they do it, you know. They just don't care, these people. They all got guns up over the country and killing even African Americans. They just don't care, you know. They are crazy.
Okay, Mario, thanks for that. Let's go back to the comment wall. Take some more tweets coming in thick and fast. Curtis Prosser, for what? To face even more oppression than they do here? Manal Mohammed, really? And there's no such thing as racism and bigotry. Peter Craven, arms dealers and their shareholders, they benefit from Islamophobia, undoubtedly, Peter. Maggie Carter, Armageddonists and weapons makers benefit. And apparently, snipers killing Arabs and Muslims, Hollywood movies too. That's a very good point, Maggie. A very disgusting and disturbing movie seems to have exploded with quite some force on the Hollywood scene. Don McIntosh says the Zionists benefit, and I did make that point earlier. Curtis, again, those who get a kick from discriminating against others. Well, they're coming in thick and fast, as are the calls. Nasser is in London. Who benefits from Islamophobia, Nasser?
Yes, sir. Good evening. Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir.
Well, I see it, to be honest, about a month ago, before the incident happened, we were talking about the ICC, the International Criminal Court.
Yes.
About Palestine.
Yes.
And we're talking about the state of Palestine.
Yes.
Now, the people who benefit from the Islamophobia is the Zionist, because now we don't talk about the ICC, we don't talk about the state of Palestine. That's one.
Well,
the other one who benefits
yeah,
from it.
You're right. That's one of the dubious achievements of the madmen who went on a rampage in Paris. Yes. Go ahead.
Yes. And the other thing, which is I wanted to mention, when they talk about the freedom of speech, we've seen about 50 world leaders marching in Paris.
Yes.
So they haven't marched when they slaughtered the Gazans in Gaza.
Yeah.
We haven't seen them marching when they slaughtered the Rabaa, which is in Egypt.
Yeah.
We haven't seen when the Christian terrorists in Sweden or Norway killed 76 people.
You're
now,
right. They're hypocrites. They are, as Private Eye on its front cover this week says, they are charlatans. Je suis charlatan. Netanyahu was there. He killed 17 journalists in Gaza just last summer, along with 500 children and 2,160 people, the vast majority of them women and children. The president of Gabon was in the front rank. He's jailed hundreds of journalists and others for exercising their freedom of speech. In Britain, in the near past, the elected Member of Parliament for West Belfast, Gerry Adams, was not allowed to be heard on television. His voice had to be spoken by an actor. I could go on, trust me. Now, I've been asking you all night, what's the answer to my question? How many terror attacks between 1980 and 2005 were committed by Muslim extremists? Let me tell you, the biggest number of terrorist attacks in the United States between 1980 and 2005 were Latinos. Others carried out 16%. Extreme left-wing groups carried out 24%. Jewish extremists carried out 7%. And Islamic extremists carried out 6%, with communists, who don't seem to have been included in the extreme left-wing groups, at 5%. These are the FBI's own figures. And as was pointed out by an earlier caller, in the United States, where guns are in the hands of just about everyone, terrorism is a moot point. Last call from Mrs. Hussein in Buckinghamshire again. Who benefits from Islamophobia, Mrs. Hussein?
Yes, salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, go ahead.
How are you?
By the grace of God, good.
Right. So, yes, who benefits from Islamophobia? The answer is very simple. Because now, Israel and ISIL need more money, need more weapons, and they, you know, their suppliers, which is United States of America, they have only the business to sell the ammunition, to supply the chemical weapons, to supply the other weapons. So how they will get it, America? They will get it through killing the people, to making the more industry, weapon industry more and more developed. And they need money. And when they kill Muslims, So then they will send the Islam through Islamophobia, they will kill more Muslims, and then they will making more benefits of it. Then they can support ISIL and Israel.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mrs. Hussein, we appear to be locked in a cycle where each atrocity is chasing the last. Terrorists in Western countries carry out attacks that kill dozens. The powerful imperial states carry out attacks that kill hundreds and thousands. And if you take it across a period of 12 years, have killed millions. The big terrorists in the White House and in Whitehall and in Westminster and in other chanceries and governments around the world carry out big terrorist attacks. They're the big pirates. The small pirates are the kind of people who caused havoc on the streets of France this week. Each atrocity is chasing the last. And if we don't get off this track, it's going to consume and destroy all of us. It's been marvelous for me. I hope it was for you. You can continue the discussion on Twitter at @comment_PressTV. Discuss this issue, follow up my hashtag AskGalloway, and come back here, God willing, next week for another edition of Comment. It's been marvelous.
Hello, if you just comment, put your name and a picture with that number. And just make sure that your television volume is set up to 0.
Zero. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You need to put through this phone number, and then we'll be back. Comment.
Can I have your telephone number?